Nuketown Radioactive number 75 for Wednesday, January 7th, 2009. On this episode of Nuketown Radioactive, I look back on a very geeky holiday as I talk about the presents I found under the geek tree this year, geek out about some gaming on the Xbox 360 and Wii that I've been doing, check out a tool for porting Unix utilities to the Mac, contemplate some retro future t-shirts, and review the H.P. Lovecraft Historical Society's most excellent, A Very Scary Solstice Christmas album. Welcome to Nuketown Radioactive, the occasional podcast about life, liberty, and the pursuit of geekdom. I'm your host, Ken Newquist, and as you might guess from the intro, I'd really hoped to record this particular podcast over the holiday break, but because of, well, crazy family stuff, there just was not enough time to do it, despite the fact that I was off from work for something like 9 days. I know. In 9 days, you would have thought I would have found some time to do the podcast, but I have a good excuse. I did a lot of reading, but that'll actually be Radioactive number 76. What I want to talk about on this particular show is, well, my geeky Christmas, you know, how things kind of shook out. Now, it actually wasn't just my geeky Christmas. It was also my geeky birthday, because my birthday falls on December 17th, and I turned 37 this year. And as a result, because, you know, I'm a December baby, I kind of got like a bumper crop of gifts. This, of course, is it for the year until December 2009. But, you know, it's nice to get a whole bunch of stuff at once. I suppose, you know, everybody else enjoys having things spread out. And I guess if I knew any different, I would too. But the plus side to having this is having a birthday in December is that you do get a whole bunch of cool stuff at once. But anyway, let's talk about what showed up underneath the geek tree. First of all, lots and lots of books. I think that was the theme of this particular Christmas / birthday. I got the Star Wars Omnibus, Tales of the Jedi Volume 1. I got both of the big space opera anthologies that are out right now. I got the new space opera and the space opera Renaissance, which is great, because if you've been following Nuketown, you know, I was kind of agonizing over which one of these I really wanted to get, not knowing that I was going to get both of them for Christmas, so this is awesome. And I got The Last Colony by John Scalzi. Now, in games, I got Arkham Horror, which is perhaps the world's most complex and coolest board game. I have been envying my friend Lance, who's had this for a couple of years now. We have had a bunch of sessions of Arkham Horror. It's one of my gaming group's favorite games, and I love that I now have my own version of the game. Now, of course, I'm going to need to go get some expansions for the game, but, oh, man, I'm really enjoying it. Now, also under the tree was Civilization IV Warlords. This is an expansion for Civilization that, it basically allows you to defeat your opponents in a new and exciting way. Which is to say, normally in Civilization, what you have to do is you declare a war on an enemy and you just fight them until either they surrender, in which case you get a peace treaty, or you just wipe them off of the face of the earth. Well, this gives you a third option. Basically, they become vassal states. They agree to serve you, which is kind of cool, because if you've played a lot of Civ, you know, it can kind of get really old having to chase down all of these civilizations and destroy them so they don't come back and attack you 10 turns down the line. So it actually introduces a bunch of other gameplay, and if I have a chance in one of the upcoming podcasts, I'll talk about it a little more. But just as big of a time sink as regular Civilization, that would probably be another reason why I didn't get a podcast out. But it is a good variant, and I've had fun with it so far. I got Mario Kart DS, which is just a fun racing game. Basically, if you played Mario Kart for Nintendo 64, or what was it, for Nintendo 64 or GameCube? I guess it was probably GameCube. But in any case, there have been a whole bunch of different variations of it. There's nothing particularly new in this game that I've seen so far, but it's on the DS, and that means I can take it on the plane with me, which is pretty darn cool. And the last game I got was chess. I got this really cool travel chess set, and basically what it is a nice plastic mat that you can roll up It's got chess pieces, nice heavy plastic chess pieces, and it's got a carrying case for all this. No, this isn't like your car version of chess, where you know you've got these teeny tiny little miniature magnetic chess pieces. This is more like the kind of set you would take with you if you wanted to go play chess in the park or something like that. So I'm really looking forward to breaking out the chess set in the next week or so with Jordan and playing with this nice, really just full-size chess set. You know, I didn't really need a really exotic chess set, you know, like they have the Lord of the Rings chess sets or Star Wars chess sets. I don't have any place to put that. What I needed was just a nice full-size chess set that we could set up on, you know, the kitchen table or the dining room table or whatever and play. Now, I had had an older set that was made out of glass. We got it really cheap at KB Toys a couple of years ago. It's like a all-in-one chess, checkers, backgammon, but it's made out of glass, and that just makes it prone to breaking, especially when you have a toddler in the house. This option is much, much better. So I was very excited about that. And the last nifty thing to note is Alias Season 1, which was just, just pretty darn cool. Alias is probably one of my favorite TV series. It kind of petered out near the end, especially I think in like Season 4, but Season 1 was just, it was just really good. And I'm looking forward to just kind of going back in and watching through all that stuff again. Now, as I mentioned in the last couple of podcasts, I've been doing a lot of game reviews lately for sci-fi, and I've got a few more that I want to talk about. Let's see, I have Left 4 Dead, which is a multiplayer zombie mayhem game. Basically, you try to survive the undead apocalypse with four friends online. It's really a one-note game. All you're doing is fighting an undead horde with your buddies. But man, it is one fantastic note. We have had a blast with this. It can be a bit grueling when you get to the very end where you have to fight off this huge horde while you try to escape by helicopter or boat or whatever. But man, we've had a lot of fun with it. And I think that our group will probably end up playing this through the winter. I can easily see this being our go-to game when our regular Star Wars RPG game is canceled because of snow, which inevitably happens in the winter. Now, another game that I reviewed was Tomb Raider, which I guess it was Tomb Raider Underworld, actually, which was the continuing relaunch of the Tomb Raider franchise. A lot of running, jumping, problem solving. If you like these things, you're going to like the game, but you just kind of have to beware of the wonky camera angles. I had fun playing with it. You know, I always liked the Tomb Raider games, but, you know, it was one of those things where you can spend too much time just getting hung up on stuff, and that would ultimately be why I would give up on them. This one, pretty good. I enjoyed playing it, and I still played it after I finished the review, so that's a fairly good sign. I also traded in a bunch of games to pick up Gears of War 2 at the urging of my friend Dave, who really wanted to do the co-op stuff. I've got to say, the story isn't really blowing me away so far, neither is the gameplay. It's really just a rehash of the original Gears of War, but what really makes the game is co-op. My friend Dave and I used to play co-op arcade all the time when we were in high school and college, and this really brings back those happy memories. So while I can't say that I'm overwhelmed by the game, it still is a good geeky fun. Let's see. Like I already mentioned, I've been playing a little bit of Civ Warlords. I think I dedicated like a Saturday after Christmas to doing nothing but playing Civ Warlords, just to kind of get it out of my system. Fun, introduces some new game mechanics. If you're into Civ, you just need to pick it up. And then the big gaming news around the Newquist household is the Wii. Santa Claus brought a Wii for Christmas, and that means we now have Nintendo's game platform in the house. He also brought Animal Crossing for the Wii, which is basically the same as Animal Crossing for the DS, which was more or less the same as Animal Crossing for the GameCube. But my daughter's really enjoying it. You know, she loves the kind of expansive sandbox environment of Animal Crossing, where you're exploring this little town and doing different tasks for them and such. She also got the Littlest Pet Shop game for the Wii, which I have to say is probably just the most annoying, tedious game I've ever seen, but she really enjoys it. It's got like all these little mini games, and then you acquire enough tokens, and then you can go and spend those tokens to buy little pets. Something that Jordan enjoys. I think she enjoys it primarily because it's a little pet shop and not so much because it's a really fun game to play, which is reinforced, which how do I say this? I think I can prove that point by the fact that she will happily give it up to play Animal Crossing or to play some of the other games that we have for the Wii. We also got Wii Sports, which I think is probably still the system's killer app. You know, it comes with the Wii and it allows you to play tennis, baseball, golf, boxing, a couple of other things. And it's still just a lot of fun to play it. It's been great to just kind of hang out with Jordan and to play video games where we're just not kind of sitting on the couch mashing buttons. This time we're jumping around, we're swinging the Wiimote, and it's just a little bit more active than your average video game. We also got Wii Play, which isn't quite as good as Wii Sports, and it introduces a bunch of other mini games like a modified version of Duck Hunt, a fishing game, cow racing, which is probably one of the most fun games on the little system. Its big claim to fame is that it comes with a second Wiimote. So basically you buy a Wiimote and get a bunch of games along with it. So that's nice. We have two Wiimotes. It means that Jordy and I can play together. So that's kind of cool. I should say that I think the game that I'm most interested in playing for the Wii right now is the Wii version of Force Unleashed. I had a blast playing it at my brother-in-law's house, and I think I'm willing to give up the gamer points on the Xbox to play this game on the Wii. Now, the graphics aren't as good as what you get on the Xbox, but the cool thing about it is that you're able to use the Wiimote to wield your lightsaber, and then you're able to use the nunchuck to do your force powers. So you kind of wave your hand with a nunchuck, and people go flying because you're using your force powers. So I'm really looking forward to trying that out on the Wii. I don't think I'll get around to doing it probably until February or so, because I've got a lot of other games to play, but I am looking forward to coming back around to it at some point.
This woman like bees, Sarge. I don't think we're gonna make it.
Damn it, Bukowski. Keep your head together. We're gonna win that hill if it's the last thing we do.
Sorry, Sarge. I just don't know what to do.
What? Why not? Did you listen to the Accidental Survivors podcast?
You mean the podcast about modern tabletop role-playing games and related media topics?
Yeah, the one put together by the Swords Edge Publishing guys.
Sorry, Sarge, I didn't!
Sorry I'm late, I was listening to the Accidental Survivors podcast, and then I went and sabotaged the enemy lines.
Logan, you beautiful bastard!
Let's go take that hill, men.
The Accidental Survivors podcast, a podcast about modern tabletop role-playing systems and related topics. Visit us at the web at accidentalsurvivors.libsyn.com.
Give my daughter a call sometime, Logan.
So over the Christmas break, I was working on a bunch of Drupal stuff for work and home and whatever. Stuff needed to be upgraded. And I found myself needing to test some image-related stuff. Now, I normally use a library called GD to do this, but unfortunately it's not installed on the Mac, and it was going to be kind of a pain in the butt to go out and install GD on Leopard. There were way too many hoops to jump through in order to get this working. So I decided I would see what my alternatives were, and one of them was to use the Image Magic library instead. Open source tool for manipulating images. I guess it's not quite a library, but neither here nor there. In order to install it on my machine, what I needed to do was figure out a way to quickly and easily download it and get it up and running. And that's where I turned to the Mac Ports Project, which is an open source community initiative to design easy to use system for compiling, installing, and upgrading either command line X11 or Aqua based open source software on Mac OS X operating system. And yeah, I took that directly from the site. What that basically means is that you can take a bunch of nifty open source software and get it running on your Mac. And in this particular case, I had a specific issue where I needed to get Image Magic running on the command line so that I could use that instead of GD to do image manipulation in Drupal. So I downloaded Mac ports, I did a bit of command line wonkery, and boom, Image Magic was installed. And it was very, very, very easy. The instructions were available on the website for getting Image Magic installed. And, you know, I was able to get it up and running probably in, I don't know, 15 minutes, something like that. Now, you have to have a few prerequisites. You have to have the Xtools utility installed on your Mac, or actually it's not a utility, it's more like a development environment. But in any case, there's some stuff you need to do before you can install it. So you need to have your Leopard disks handy if you don't already have that on your Mac. Fortunately, I did, so it wasn't a big deal for me. If you're geeky and you need to spend a lot of time working on the command line on the Mac, I I think you should definitely run out and get MacPorts. It's an easy way to get Unix utilities onto your Mac. You can find it at www.macports.org. Now, for the rest of you, I came across this cool site. I think it was on Twitter, but I'm not sure. But in any case, it's called Retropolis Transit Authority. And these are t-shirts from a future that never was, including Space Cadets, Mad Geniuses, Faithful Robots, Retro Rocketeers, and Space Pirates. Now, I got to say, some of my t-shirts are looking a bit ratty, and I really liked these. I mean, they're kind of in a Buck Rogers kind of mode, 1930s, 1920s Art Deco kind of thing. Really nice stuff. So I think at some point this spring I'm going to have to order one of these because they're just too nice to pass up. You can find them at www.printfection. That's printfection.com/retro-future. There will be a link to that and, of course, MacPorts in the show notes. But check them out if you're kind of into the retro sci-fi thing or you just have a taste for space opera. You know, I'm on a big space opera kick right now, as you can tell from the books I mentioned earlier in the podcast. Then you should really check it out.
Fit all the gaming podcasts you possibly can inside your head with RPGpodcasts.com.
So aside from that pinnacle of geekdom known as the Geek Tree, the geekiest thing I did this Christmas was to get a Christmas album by the H.P. Lovecraft Historical Society called A Very Scary Solstice. And what this does is it replaces traditional song lyrics, traditional Christmas song lyrics, with ones inspired by the weird horror of H.P. Lovecraft. So, you've got a bunch of songs about great old ones and Cthulhu and dark cities and all kinds of stuff like that. Some of my favorite songs include The Carol of the Great Old Ones, It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Fishmen, I Saw Mommy Kissing Yog-Sothoth, I'm Dreaming of a Dead City, Little Rare Book Room, and the Shoggoth Song. Now, these are all... they all sound just like Christmas songs. So you can be listening to them in your office, which I did, and people can walk by and unless they kind of pause and go, wait a minute, what did they just say? They're never even going to notice that they aren't actually Christmas songs. I mean, I know I played them once or twice when my daughter was around, and she had absolutely no clue exactly what they were talking about. But in any case, it's just really fun. I mean, you know, you hear the same Christmas songs over and over and over again. And what they've done with these is basically kind of taken those old familiar songs and just mixed them up with introducing these different lyrics. And, you know, you're taking a glimpse into an alternative reality where the mainstream religion worships the great old ones instead of Jesus. So... wow, it was just a fun album. I really enjoyed playing it. It got my spirits up every time I listened to it. And, you know, I think if you're into H.P. Lovecraft, you should definitely check it out. It's something that fans of the Cthulhu mythos should really have in their CD collection. Now, obviously, you know, if Christmas means a lot to you, and if you're very serious about your religion, this is not the CD for you. I mean, they're talking about the fishmen filling up streets and the horrors that come from worshiping ancient evil gods. It's all done in good fun, but you know, if this is not your thing, you should just not get this particular CD. Now, the good news is, for those of us who do enjoy this sort of thing, is that there is a second CD called, I think it's an Even Scarier Solstice, which is more of the same. Another 30-odd tracks dedicated to the great old ones in H.P. Lovecraft. Now, I have to thank Baron Kinsman at UncleBear.com and Merle Lafferty for turning me on to this CD. I know Murr has been talking about this CD on and off for the last couple of years. Baron's certainly been tweeting about it for, well, I guess at least this holiday season. And they really inspired me to go out and get the CD. Now, I can't say that all the songs are awesome. They aren't. Not all of the singing is, you know, perfect, but for the most part, it's pretty good. And like I say, for folks who love who love H.P. Lovecraft, you can't go wrong in getting this CD. If you're interested, and hey, you know, why not go and get a copy for next Christmas, right? You can go and check out the CD and its sequel at CthulhuLives.org/solstice. And yes, there will be a link to it in the show notes.
But Battlestar is one word common dialogue, so it should be BG.
But everybody calls it BSG, Norwood, so that's its name.
I kind of like BG. It reminds me of the Bee Gees.
You're not helping, Orc Lord.
I'm supposed to be helping?
So by that logic, the PlayStation 3 should be called the P3.
I'm in an untenable position. I see the discussion.
Tune in for this and other exciting sci-fi and gaming conversations on the Canon Puncture podcast. You can find us on iTunes or at canonpuncture.blogspot.com.
And that will do it for this edition of Nuketown Radioactive. As always, I'm looking for feedback. You can stop by the website and post a comment to the show notes at nuketown.com. You can email me at nuketown@gmail.com, and you can follow me and, you know, send a few tweets my way at Twitter. That is twitter.com/nukehavoc. I did want to just throw out a quick note that I'm going to be doing an experiment later this month. I want to try and do some shorter shows, probably in the neighborhood of about 10 minutes, maybe 15 at the outside. Just experiment with a slightly shorter format and see how that works. See if it's easier for me to kind of produce and edit these things, and if I can actually get them up on a more regular basis. And I'd also like to know what you guys think. Would you like more shorter podcasts, or would you rather me stick to the more infrequent but longer shows? Again, send me feedback at nuketown@gmail.com.